So we're skipping to the laws of writing on Chol HaMoed for a minute. We don't write on Chol HaMoed. It doesn't matter if it's Hebrew, English, or any other language. If it's something, if we conclude, you'll understand. So let's move forward for a minute. If the masses need it, if it's necessary for other people, so then we permit writing our script. We say any writing that's not Maisa Uman, it's not skilled like calligraphy or safras, that's okay, and you're fine. Now, we don't write stam. We don't write the writing of a Sefer Torah. We don't even fix a Sefer Torah. You take out another Sefer Torah, but you don't fix it, even though technically the masses need that Sefer Torah. But we said, for the need of the masses, we do not permit Maise Uman, something that's extraordinarily skilled, like fixing a Sefer Torah. You have another Sefer Torah, use the other one. So we don't do that. What happens if you have two letters that are touching? So then you could separate the two letters. That's not writing. If you don't have a kosher Sefer Torah, so then you do fix it, right? Okay.
But I'm confused still.
Sorry. Let's go slowly. We're not done yet. What happens if you have to answer? You were sent a written question by the court, let's say. You're being subpoenaed. You have to write a written response. That's okay. Let's say the delivery guy shows up from UPS and he has a package for you. You have to sign. If you don't sign, who knows when you'll see that package again. Maybe you'll have to drive down to the office to pick it up. So that's okay. What happens if you have a legal document that they're coming to pick up and you need a copy of it? You can write down a copy. What happens if you're learning and you want to write down what you're learning? You realize something new. You're allowed to write that down. You're allowed to sit down and write if you heard an interesting lecture and you want to write it down. Because there we enter the realm of Davar HaAved. I will suffer a loss if I don't do this task. When you're going to write whatever you're writing, so you write it in a manner that's imperfect. You know, you write in a squabbly script. If you have to write the square letters, so then don't write them exact. Leave like a little gap, because you're not supposed to write. That's already entering a skilled type of writing.
Does that mean you can bring a notepad and pen to a
shiur? Yes, you should. Yes. Learning Torah, then write. Writing, that's, you're going to incur a loss if you don't write it, that's okay. We do permit writing tefillin and mezuzah for yourself. If you need a tefillin to wear, so that's okay. That's all okay. But you can't hire someone else to write for you tefillin or mezuzah. If your friend needs tzitzis or tefillin, and he needs it for Chol HaMoed, so if he's not paying you, if you're doing it for free, you're preparing his tzitzis or writing his tefillin for him, and he'll use them now in Chol HaMoed, that's okay, but you can't do it for money. Okay. What happens if you're a scribe and you got no money? So then you're allowed to write and sell it privately so that you have what to eat. We said even a Maisa Uman is permissible, even a skilled labor is permissible when it's for the sake of having food on Chol HaMoed. So it doesn't have to be that he's dying of hunger. It's that he doesn't have enough to have a normal meal. He has to keep everything all tight. So that's enough to allow us to write on Chol HaMoed so that you can have a nicer meal so you can buy what you need. We're allowed to write down if we want to keep a record of our expenses. If someone wants to take a loan from you and you want to write down a contract, You're allowed to write that down. You want to rent a car to go drive to the kotel or whatever it is, and you have to sign the contract. That's okay. Any action that's permissible to do on Chol HaMoed, any business transaction, if it like we said, you're allowed to buy food on Chol HaMoed, so you have to write a check or sign your credit card. That's okay, because you're allowed to do that transaction. You're allowed to go to the supermarket to buy, and part of it is going to be to sign. If you have a credit by the makolet and they want to write down your credit, that's also okay. Because all these are davar haved. You know, the makolet owner is going to try to remember everyone's debt. He's going to forget, right? And then he's going to lose that money. So that's why he's allowed to write. You're going to forget what you learned if you don't take notes in a shiur. So you're allowed to write. So for davar haved, we say either davar haved, because you'll incur a loss if you don't write it, or it's tzorech hamoed, something that's necessary for the chol moed itself. So then it's mutter. What happens if you want to write an email? Hi, Mom, I miss you. You're writing your friend an email. So here it depends. If you're writing something that's necessary to promote peace, to promote goodwill, it's like an important email. So then there are opinions. Some are more stringent, some are more lenient. So, there's room to be lenient. But it has to be necessary. Not like your friend sends you YouTube and you look at it and then you write back, that was really funny. That's not necessary. We don't write things that are unnecessary on Chol HaMoed. You want to write your parents a warm email. You want to tell people, you know, there's a protest for Pollard. Come out and help us. Things that are really necessary, we write on Chol HaMoed.
Electronic writing is still classified as writing.
We treat electronic writing as writing, yeah. Even though there's room to discuss whether electronic writing is really writing, but we do treat it that way. And I recommend, and when I was a kid, the rule was no TV or computer on Chol HaMoed. I'm saying, and then you have a different Chol HaMoed. Then you really feel the moed aspect of it. If you're going to sit on the computer, I have to write this and I have to write for that job interview. Now there's this job opportunity. It's a davar haved. If I don't reply, someone else will get the job. So I don't think typing is a ma'ase uman, but I think that it is writing. We do treat it as writing.
A stupid question, you just said it'd be more moed. What is moed?
Moed means holiday. So it's Chol HaMoed. So people always focus on the Chol, on the weekday aspect, but it's also a Moed. It's a part of Yom Tiv. So if you dress like Yom Tiv and you daven late, guys, get up late. Go to an 8 o'clock minyan, not a 6 o'clock minyan. Go to a nice long minyan. Have a nice breakfast. Take it easy. This is vacation time. This is the time to invest and have a good steak. I bought, last year, 2 years ago, I bought a mangal just for Pesach. A barbecue, a grill, just for Pesach. Because I said, this is the time I should be having barbecue with the kids. Chol HaMoed, the rest of the year, it's a nice thing. But on Chol HaMoed, okay, so it's a fun thing for the kids. I want to pause for 1 second just to tell you how you should really do a barbecue. It took me some time to learn. Most people don't know. So let's just have a little bit of child education here. You can go to the store and pay, I don't know how much, 35, 45 shekel, and buy those coals. And then pay another 15, 20 shekel and buy the starter coals and the starter burners and everything else. Or you can tell your kids, hey, we're going to make a mangal and you guys have to be a part of it. I need your help. And then you send them out collecting and you explain to them, I need smaller twigs and like dry grass to start the fire. And then on top of that, I'm going to make a little bit bigger twigs. And then on top of that, I need thicker wood. And with time, they will learn. By the third or fourth mangal, as you collect wood and sticks with them, I don't buy coals anymore. I've discovered, by the way, I'll tell you a secret, but you guys don't make it too public. I know our listeners are listening, but okay, you guys don't make it too public either. The best thing for a mangal is the palm branches here in Israel. After Sukkot, everyone throws out their palm branches. Now they dry out and they're filled with oil and they make the hottest fire. And if you take the spine of the palm branch, that's thick wood, which becomes a very nice coal. And the leaves, when they dry out, they light very easily. They're the greatest starter. You get a fantastic fire from the dried palm branches. So for you in Israel and those of you in Florida and California where you have dry palm branches for schach, what I do after Pesach is I collect like 10 branches, put them in a dry place, they dry out, and then I have excellent starter material. But even without that...
You shouldn't cook with that?
Sure you could, why not? It's got no holiness.
Some types of wood that when they burn and the smoke gets into the food, it's...
Carcinogenic? Yeah. And palm branches like that?
I don't know. But
okay. Okay, look it up. Tov, I don't know. Look, that's what I'm thinking. You know, you do. How many times do you do a barbecue? Twice a year, three times a year. I'm saying it's not. I'd be surprised if that could be carcinogenic. But if you do it, so then the kids end up having a great time. They're not driving you crazy. They're a part of it. It saves you a lot of money because you end up spending almost as much as you spend on the meat, on the coals, and the starter.
Something that goes to say it's only the first night of Seder that you can't have anything that's roasted.
Right.
So what about in the last night?
No problem. Enjoy.
So it's only in the first.
Correct.
Nothing roasted.
Correct.
Cool.
How do you know so much? Very nice. Okay.
So if running is a malacha, then it's only permitted for Zeracha Moed and Tvar Hamed then? Yeah?
Again, slowly?
If writing on Chol HaMoed is classified as a malacha, it's only permitted then for Zeracha Moed and Tvar Hamed?
Aved. Tvar Aved. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
So we write Litzorech HaMoed, we write for things that are necessary for Chol HaMoed, and we write for Davar HaAved, if you're going to incur a loss if you don't do that writing. We said, what happens if you're going to incur a loss if you don't write? We do allow to write, meaning sometimes your landlord's going to evict you. You have to write him a letter and send it by registered mail. No, I do not want to leave this apartment, or things of that nature. Sometimes you have things that are Devar Aved. So that's permissible even on Chol HaMoed. Provided you didn't wait for Chol HaMoed. You know, sometimes you got the letter before Yom Tov and you decided, I got time. So then you shouldn't, that's not right. What happens if by writing a letter you'll benefit, but it's not a loss if you don't? So then that's not right. You can write in an unusual way, and then it's okay. What else? A guy wants to take a loan, so if you could bring witnesses and then write the document after Chol HaMoed. So bring witnesses and write the document after Chol HaMoed. What happens if you don't trust them without a written document? Then you could write it on Chol HaMoed. What happens if you're selling property on Chol HaMoed? So what are you doing selling property on Chol HaMoed? But let's say the guy needs a house to live in. The guy says, I want to make Aliyah. I need an apartment. I'll come to Israel if I have an apartment. So you're going to close the deal on Chol HaMoed. So then you could write a contract. That was necessary for Chol HaMoed. Okay, so that's what happens if you married a woman and she lost her ksuba. This happens more often than you think. People lose the ksuba at the wedding. Now, you're not allowed to stay with your wife without a ksuba. So, yeah. So then you can write a ksuba on Chol HaMoed. Yes. It's very important. Nowadays... you'd write it in regular writing. You wouldn't get those fancy ksubas and written in fancy. You could only write it in simple writing. We do write gittin on Chol HaMoed. I guess that's a big davar aved. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, where's not?
That's we do. Yeah. We also write kiddushin. And if people are going to get engaged on Chol HaMoed, and they write very often in Hasidim, they do this big time, they write all kinds of conditions, and that's where the parents obligate themselves, I'll pay you, fund this much of the barn, you'll fund that much of their expenses, etc. So we do write that. What about a will? A guy's on the verge of dying, So then we also, whatever is necessary, stuff like that. Again, we write. The things that are permissible to write, you write in the, just we said, try not to write in the professional type of calligraphy writing. When we discuss writing, so writing with our pens is more lenient than writing with a quill. Writing with a quill is, again, an act of professionalism. It's a skilled task. But writing like that is okay. Your kid wants to play with, what do they call that thing which you shake and you draw with?
Etch-a-sketch.
Hey, your kid wants to draw with an etch-a-sketch. It's not a problem because everyone knows it's not going to last. A kid wants to draw on a blackboard. That's also not a problem because everyone knows that's not going to last. That's not considered writing. Any writing that you know is not going to last, so that's permissible. Yeah.
Like something Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote, but couldn't you say the same about using his argument when he writes that about typing? He's saying it's not like a typed message being saved into a computer's memory banks isn't the same sort of committing it to... into writing, isn't that something new with the argument there?
I think it's totally different. When you type something on a computer, the only real writing is what's happening on the screen. And even that, some of our screens are plasma screens.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that's real writing, the way I understand plasma screens work.
It's gone. Like,
that's another point. That the screen disappears and that as you write, the screen scrolls up. So it's hard to say that we consider that writing in that sense because then you'd never be able to scroll up once you have God's name on the screen, right? We in general, we treat it as writing that we don't do it on Chol HaMoed, but there is more room to be lenient when necessary. Okay, so that's in a nutshell that the laws of writing. We write what's necessary for Yom Tov, or if you'd incur a loss, and we generally do treat writing on a computer as writing and writing on a cell phone as writing. We do treat that as writing. Is there room to be lenient there? When necessary, yes, but not unnecessarily.